I want to welcome you today to our 40 days of prayer. Rick Warren and his team at Saddleback for years have been doing spiritual campaigns. 40 days of purpose, 40 days of community, 40 days of purpose. Why? Because most of the problems in our life are because of spiritual immaturity. We make bad decisions based on feelings. Turn to your neighbor this morning and say, you make bad decisions based on your feelings. And turn back and say, I know and I've seen you do it too. Carrying on from what we started last week in terms of understanding stewardship, spiritual growth is God's will. Babies are cute. I love the smell of new babies. There's just something about new babies. But it's tragic if by the time they're 25, they still act like a baby. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 is kind of our theme verse for these 40 days. We are not meant to remain as children at the mercy of every chance wind of teaching. Instead, we are meant to hold firmly to the truth in love and to grow up in every way into Christ. Just as we are doing our vision and working with that and loving like Jesus, if we're going to love like Jesus, then we have to grow up in Christ so that we can emulate how he loved others, so that we can learn how to love others. There are laws of spiritual growth that you cannot violate. God is the God of order, and he makes things based on principles. And he designed the universe based on principles, the principles of physics, physical laws like gravity and the second law of thermodynamics, and a lot of other laws are what guide this universe and make this universe actually work. But there are also spiritual laws that God invented for your life. So today I want to explain to you the underpinnings of where we are going. And I hope you have your outline. You can throw that into your journal. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But every campaign is built on the six laws of spiritual growth. So you ready to go? Ready to learn? Turn to your neighbor and say, fill in those blanks. Anybody not have one of those papers that wants to have one? Put up your hand. I'm sure our team at the back will make sure that you'll get one. The first thing I want you to know is that we grow when we feed on God's word. This is real soul food. Jesus said people need more than bread for their life. They must feed on every word of God. Let me ask you a question this morning. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. What if you only ate one big meal on Sunday, but you didn't eat the rest of the week? Some of us wouldn't be struggling with the extra pounds that we have. But it doesn't. You can't be sustained if you do that. And I think sometimes when we come on Sunday morning, we feast up. I do my best to present the Word of God to you and help you to put, you know, and give you practical principles that you can apply to your life. But if this is all that you're eating, you're going to starve by Monday night. Paul said this in Acts chapter 20, verse 32. The Word of grace is able to build you up and give you all the blessings that God has for his people. So how do you feed on God's word? There's actually six ways that we're going to talk about in your notes over these times. You hear God's word, you read God's word, you study God's word, you memorize God's word, you meditate on God's word, and then you apply God's word. It's just like your hand. You hear, you read, you study, you memorize, you meditate, and then you apply. During these 40 days of prayer, we're going to use all of these six in our action steps. So here's the first action step. If you want to learn and grow, because that's the very first principle that we have, then our action step is that we need to have a daily time with God for 40 days. That's why we have the journal. Because in the journal, there are 40 devotionals, one for every day. And it's not just that you will learn, it's also that you will get into the habit of that. But let's look at the second principle. The second law is that we grow when we learn in different ways. God has set us up so uniquely different. He never copies. We're not the same. God never makes clones. I have a unique fingerprint. I have a unique eye print. I have a unique DNA. And I have a unique learning style. And so we all do. Look at what it says in Luke chapter 3. In many different ways, John preached the good news to the people. Why did John the Baptist use different styles of teaching? Because we all learn in different ways. There's four most common. It's by listening, which is auditory, by watching and reading, which is visual, by talking, which is verbal or oral, and by doing it, which is physical and kinesthetic. Do you know how you learn? Do you know what your style is? Each year I take a course, and for the past several years, I've been listening to a lesson, and this year I did a video series, and I'm kind of eating it up because I learn visually as well as audibly. In fact, I often say to people when I'm talking to them, I'm thinking out loud. When I'm thinking out loud, that's exactly what I'm doing. Don't take everything that I'm going to say. We will come to a conclusion, but I'm thinking out loud. In Job chapter 33, the passage, the first book that we finished going through the Bible in a year, Job said, God speaks in different ways and we don't always recognize his voice. In fact, if there is a common question or comment that I hear from believers is, I don't know if I'm hearing God's voice. Why don't people grow? Because they don't take notes, so they forget. And they have different learning styles. And in this campaign, we're going to use all four major learning styles for reinforcement. It's like hitting that nail four times. And perhaps we might get the point. We're slow learners, aren't we? Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a slow learner. Turn back and say, I know you're just fooling us. You think you're fast. I'm such a slow learner. On the way home from our retreat, we were driving Highway 16. We got to Yorkton, had lunch. I thought I took the right road. I actually got to see Humboldt, Saskatchewan on the way here. So if you want to know anything about what our team thinks about me, they know I can't hear and they know I don't know where I'm going. But let's look at the third law. We grow when we develop spiritual habits. Your character, you might want to write this one down. Your character is the sum total of your habits. Think about that for a moment. Your character is the sum total of your habits. Your habits determine what you are, and what you are determines where you go in life. And your character is the sum total of your habits. I can't say, for instance, I'm a kind person. I have a kind quality of kind, a character quality of kindness, unless I'm always kind, unless it's a habitual quality in my life. It has to become my habit. It has to become your habit to be kind. If you're only kind 25% of the time, you're not a kind person. You might be saying, well, I have integrity. I'm honest. But if you're only honest 25% of the time, you don't have integrity. Integrity means you're habitually honest. You are habitually doing the right thing. If I said to my wife, honey, I'm going to be faithful to you 28 days of the month. How do you think that would go over? Partial faithfulness is unfaithfulness. Partial obedience is disobedience. I can't say I'm a faithful husband if I'm not faithful all of the time. It has to become a habit in your life, just like it has to be a habit in my life. There are lots of habits that we need to grow in our spiritual life. They're called spiritual disciplines. Devotional practices of habits like prayer and quiet time and personal study and solitude and tithing and fellowship and fasting and serving and listening and journaling. They're all the building blocks. And we've been introducing those in our Practicing Our Way course. But I want to reinforce these through this campaign. So how do you develop habits? Well, it's just two things, folks. Repetition and practice. That's how you create it. And it takes 6 weeks every day to create a new habit. Study after study shows it takes 6 weeks for you to develop a new habit. 6 weeks. Great book. If you want to learn about habits and you have not read this book, you need to buy this book. It's Atomic Habits by James Clear. James Clear. There's one story in here. I'm going to go right off script. One story in there about habits. He said, take small steps. He tells the illustration of one man who wanted to lose weight. And because he had never done anything in terms of going to a gym or anything like that, the first thing he started to do was to get into his car in the morning and go and sit in the parking lot of the gym. That's all he did for 6 weeks. The next 6 weeks, he got out of the car and went inside and walked around the gym. Got back in his car. Went to work. 6 weeks later, he decided to get on a treadmill. And literally, on a treadmill. Didn't turn it on. He did that for 6 weeks. Then he turned it on for 6 weeks. And every 6 weeks, he built on his habits. And he lost almost 180 pounds. You have to do something every day, whether it's to exercise, to diet, or a spiritual habit, or anything else. You've got to do it every day for 6 weeks before it actually becomes a habit in your life. John chapter 13, verse 17, Jesus says, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you practice them. And here's the kicker. And this was one of the best things that James wrote in this book. Don't skip 2 days in a row. Life's going to happen. You'll miss a day. Don't miss two, because that's a slippery slope. So what happens when you practice good habits? You grow up. Hebrews 5 says, solid food is for mature people whose minds have been trained by practice to know the difference between good and evil. The difference between successful and unsuccessful people is that successful people develop habits that unsuccessful people don't. Give me an illustration. How many know that there's a game going on today? Super Bowl. 7-time Super Bowl champion, Tom Brady, was the oldest QB in the NFL. Why? Because, let me read some of his habits. By the way, go Seahawks. Every day, the first thing he did was get up in the morning and he drank 20 ounces of water right off the bat. In his book, TB12 Method, he goes into great detail of how he was disciplined, how he had habits. There was a lot of other things that he does to keep his mind at a peak in his mental and physical and emotional shape. He was willing to pay the price. He developed the habits, and they paid off for him. And other people aren't willing to develop those habits, but he's still around. He was the best, even though he was the oldest of all that was going on in the NFL. Most are not willing to be that disciplined. 1 Corinthians 9:25. All good athletes train hard and practice to get better. They do it to win a prize that won't last, but we practice to win a prize that will last forever. You see, during the 40 days of prayer, we're going to focus on four habits to strengthen you. The habit of weekly large group times together. That's this Sunday morning. I'm going to be preaching to you about some very practical things about prayer. We're going to be gathering together. There's the habit of a circle group. And if you're not in a circle group and you want to be a part of what we're doing, come on Monday nights, join us there. Do that together for a midweek lift. That's how Jesus structured the church, for your support. Let me prove it to you. Acts chapter 2, verses 46 and 47. Every day the believers had a habit of meeting together in the temple courts, which is worshiping together. That's like we're doing here. And in their homes for fellowship, they ate together and celebrated with happy and thankful hearts. They praised God, and the whole community liked what they saw in these people. And as a result, the Lord added to their groups daily as their neighbors were being saved. To be a strong believer, you need both. And then you need two more habits. The habit of daily time alone with God. That's reading God's word and praying on your own, and then the habit of memorizing scripture. Would you like to succeed in life? I want you to. But there's only one promise of success in the Bible. It's in Joshua chapter 1. Always remember what was written in this book. Read it and think about it every day and be sure to obey everything written in it. If you do this, you will be prosperous and successful in your life. I'm not talking about prosperity gospel and all that stuff. I'm talking about if you want to be mature, if you want to grow, if you want to have the habits in your life, then you need to do what God's asked you to do. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think God is lying here? Do you think he's just teasing you? You think he's making this up? No. Now to help you with these habits, we designed this book to help you go through the 40 days. It's a journal. Let me get to the fourth one. You okay this morning? All right, here we go. Now you can take a moment and go back and look at the habits. What are those four habits that I've described to you? Which one are you actually doing? And then pick one to add to your repertoire. Number four, we grow when we help each other grow. Here's what I want you to know this morning. Spiritual growth is relational. We are better together. Look what it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 12. I want us to help each other with the faith we have. Your faith will help me, and my faith will help you. Here's a fact. You will never grow to spiritual maturity by yourself. Don't let the enemy of your soul tell you the lie that you can do this on your own. You need to have other people in your life. God wired us this way. I could do a whole series on one another's. There's 56 of them. Love one another. Care for one another. Help one another. Encourage one another. Pray for one another. Serve one another. Share with each other. Build up each other. There's 56 of them Paul describes in his writings. That must have been significant for him to do that. In fact, he goes on in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to say that the way God has created us and shaped us together, even as the body of believers, some of us are an eye, some of us are a hand, some of us are a foot. And he goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 12 that the hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you, and the foot can't say to the hand, I don't need you. We need each other. Why relationships are essential to spiritual growth? because of this number one thing. The one skill that God wants you to learn, oh, write this down. It's to love. That's why it's so fitting for our journal, for our vision to be love like Jesus. Because God has put us in community to learn to love one another. We only grow in community with others. Jesus did not isolate himself from the lost. He was criticized because he ate with them. He visited their homes and he embraced the leper. Here's something I learned yesterday. Jesus disappointed people every day. There were people that he healed, people that he didn't heal. People he called out, people he didn't call out. But he was still loving. You need people in your life who sometimes think differently from you, or challenge your self-centeredness, or tell you what your blind spots are. This teaches us that we need to be giving, to think of other people. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Let us be concerned for one another, to help one another, to show love and to do good. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together as some are in doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more. So what's your action step for this particular law? Join a circle group. And if you still have your triad that we had during our prayer time last year, do it with your triad, with other two or three other people. You see, you want to grow? You say yes. But maybe I'm not willing to pay the price. Bob, do you know what that's going to cost me to come on Monday nights? Do you know the time I'm going to have to give up to be here on Sundays so I can learn about the prayer? Do you know the time that I'm going to have to give up to spend 15 minutes with God in the morning? If you're not willing to pay the price, I've learned this lesson the hard way, then you're willing to become and be immature. Number five, we grow when we expect to grow. This is the faith factor. Jesus said, according to your faith, it will be done to you. Why do you know what God is doing in your life right now? Do you know what God is doing in your life right now? Exactly what you're expecting him to do. Are you expecting to grow? Are you expecting a miracle in these next 40 days? Are you expecting a breakthrough? Let's set a goal to grow. There's several reasons why I wanted to do the 40 days of prayer. Not only just to help us go deeper in our understanding and our practice of what it means to pray. But friends, you need to be praying for us as a church during these days. Praying for our leadership. That we will walk in holiness and purity. And pray that you will see the Lord bring a lead pastor to come lead you. I got a little bit of a deadline. We need a miracle. Amen? And I've had people say to me, well, Bob, why don't you just stay? I value my marriage. And I'm only here to help you. I'm here to pass the baton. I know what my role is. I will give you last Sunday. I will sneak out the back door and I will drive home. Because I must decrease, because whoever comes needs to increase. I know my role. Will I grieve? I love you people. But I know my role. And I just am trusting God that in these next days, he's going to raise up the one that's going to be the hand that fits the glove. Amen? That's why we need to start this campaign with a spirit of faith. Am I going to grow a lot in the next 40 days? That's only the answer that you can, the only question that you can answer. But it leads us to number 6. We grow when we commit to grow. Here's a factor that I want you to understand. Growth is not automatic. It's intentional. It's a choice. You must choose to grow. You must choose to do the habits. You must choose to make the effort. You make the choice. Here's a question for you. 1 year from today, will you be spiritually stronger than you are today? Only if you intend to be. Let me ask a very personal question. How badly do you want to grow? Do you really want to grow up? Or do you want just to be a spiritual baby? What are you willing to do? Do you intend to be stronger? Or still stuck in the same problems you have right now? You want to be more mature? Or you want to still be the same way you are right now in a year? It's your choice. The bottom line, and just to be blunt, you're as close to God as you've chose to be. You might want to write that one down. You're as close to God as you've chosen to be. It's your choice. If you feel far from God, God didn't move. You can be a victim or a victor. You can be lame, blame everybody, blame the system. Blame your time that you don't think you have control over, or you can take responsibility for your life. Jeremiah 29:13 in the Message says this. God says, you'll find me when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else. So what's the action step for this law? Make a covenant with others. Nehemiah chapter 9 says, in view of all this, remember we went through Nehemiah just a few months ago, we are making a covenant together in writing and all of us are signing our names to it. A covenant. We grow faster when we make a decision with other people and we do it in community. A covenant. It's easy to change when other people are changing with you. It's easier to go on a diet when other people are on the diet with you. It's easier to exercise when you have a partner. It's easier to grow when you make a covenant with other people to grow. Now, it's a covenant that I'm going to encourage you to stand for in a few minutes. And you might say, well, I don't know if I want to make a covenant with God. Well, why? You make covenants with everybody else. You see, you can't do in life without making commitments. You can't buy a car without signing a covenant and paying it off in 36 months or 72 months or whatever you can find as your agreement. You can't rent a house or buy a house without making a covenant. The covenant is I'll make these commitments, to make these payments every month. You can't get a job without making a covenant. I covenant to be there and show up and actually get work done. You can't get married without making a covenant till death do you part. You can't do anything in life without commitment. The epitome is immaturity. Of immaturity is the guy who won't, or gal who won't, commit to anything. The fear of commitment is the ultimate example of immaturity, folks. The only way you grow is by making commitments and growing into it. You might say, well, I don't know what to do. Of course you don't know what to do, but make the commitment and then grow into it. Some of you, when you got married, you said, let's have kids. You made a commitment to be a parent. Now, you didn't know how to be a parent. That's one of the questions I've got for God when I get to heaven. How come you entrusted all of this responsibility to us and you didn't teach us how to do it? You didn't know how to be a parent? No. Not a single person knows how to be a parent before they're a parent. They just make the commitment and then they grow into it. And I'm asking you to make a commitment to the most important thing in your life, which is spiritual growth. Why am I committing to your personal growth? It's because I want you to grow up. My goal is in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 9, our greatest wish, our prayer, is that you'll become mature Christians. What are you going to do for the next 7 weeks? Are you going to stand by and let this go by? Are you going to stand and make a commitment to God? Say, the best of my ability, by faith, I want to do this. You see, you have two choices. You do nothing and miss out, and you watch everyone else grow and benefit. Or you get serious about the most important part of your life, and you develop some new habits, which will change your destiny, which is prayer. Would you make that commitment this morning? If God is laying that on your heart and you just simply want to say, I'm in, Bob. I want to see what God can do as I give these next 40 days to Him. Would you stand where you are? Because I want to pray for you. You stand? Let me pray. Father, I look out on these people and I love them. They are good people. We've been through a lot of up and downs, highs and lows, crushing grief, and soaring joy. Lots of different experiences in life. I do believe that our best days are ahead of us. And I commit to moving myself first and everyone else to deeper levels of maturity and growth. We don't want to waste our lives. We don't want to miss out on what you've got in store for us. We want all the blessings. If we would just do what you say to do, you say our lives will be successful. And I pray a blessing on every person here, that as we go into the next 40 days, that we will go in with anticipation and expectation. It'd be a waste of time for us to do this and not do it in faith. So thank you in advance. Thank you in advance for what you're going to do in my life and in the lives of everyone here who's standing. We know that growth is a choice. And we pray that we we'll build these habits into our lives, that we'll become true men and women of God in a world that is filled with unstable, flaky, uncommitted people. And I pray this blessing in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen.